there's so much talk in the church about this new program and this new approach. How about getting back to the basics? How about what does it mean to be a disciple?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just posted a picture on my Facebook page on Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. It's one of the most moving pictures, one of the most moving photographs I've ever seen in my life. I have sometimes preached on being disciples and the cost of discipleship, and then simply put this picture up on the screen, and it communicated more than all my preaching, all my teaching, all my lecturing. It's a picture of a water baptism, a picture of a water baptism in Pakistan. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It's Tuesday. It's our day of teaching, opening up the scriptures, opening up a biblical theme, talking theology, apologetics, practical living. And I want to revisit one of the key themes of scripture, one of the key burdens of my life. What does it really mean to follow Jesus? What is, to use the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the real cost of discipleship? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This is not a show for bashing Christian leaders or churches. I'm deeply appreciative of those on the front lines going for it, serving God in a thousand different ways, on a thousand different fronts. I'm grateful for all the different gifts in the body. Some are more pastoral, some are more teaching-oriented, some are more evangelistic, some are more prophetic. Everyone has different gifts, callings. However, I grieve over compromise. I grieve over trying to put emphasis on methodology when the foundations aren't right. I grieve over, as we say, rearranging the deck furniture on a sinking ship. I grieve over those things when we need to talk about fundamentals. And I want to ask you a question. It's not to bash people. It's not to mention churches by name or leaders by name. Absolutely not. But to ask the question, the general sense you're getting, the church in America, are we putting the emphasis in the right place? Are we calling people to leave everything and follow Jesus? Are we setting examples of what it really means to be disciples, be devoted followers of Jesus, be his people in this world, living for him, representing him, serving him, making a difference? Is that where our emphasis is, or is it on other things? What's in it for me? Or the latest seminar as to how we could improve our church atmosphere, or maybe something even more secular, or just a whole political emphasis. What are you feeling, hearing, sensing? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So what's this picture that I just posted? Again, you can view it just by going to Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. What's the picture? It's a friend of a friend of mine. This brother's name is Ray. That's doing the water baptism. He is a close friend of a dear colleague of mine named Tom, who ministers extensively in Sudan. Don't want to mention last names or anything like that. Ray is baptizing a former Muslim. The man is wearing pants and a T-shirt, but you can see that there's something missing in the picture. Both of the man's arms are chopped off right past the shoulders, tiny little stumps, right past the shoulders, and he's being hugged by this brother after being baptized in water. You see, what happened to his arms? As a Muslim, when he came to faith in Jesus in Pakistan, Muslims chopped both his arms off. After which, he was baptized publicly, professing his faith in Jesus. Friends, that is a picture of a disciple. With the complaining we can sometimes do and the superficiality that we can sometimes walk in, this picture is a call to discipleship to each and every one of us.
Change the world.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I've just got to be honest with you, friends. We are not stepping up to the challenge at hand. For the most part, we as believers here in America are not stepping up to the challenge at hand. We are not stepping up to saying, let's just go for it, follow Jesus at any cost or consequence. To a great extent, we have been lulled to sleep by the love of this world or the compromise of this world or the concerns of this world or the pleasures of this world. And many of us are more caught up with the sports page than the Word of God, or with Wall Street than the Word of God, or with the latest house decorating more than the Word of God, or are more concerned about what people say about us, more concerned about having the favor of people than having the favor of God. I wonder if Jesus came walking through our communities, walking through our church services and said, follow me. I wonder how many of us would get up and follow him unconditionally. I wonder how many of us would have to make radical life changes to follow him. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Talking today about the cost of discipleship. I want to read some scripture to you shortly. And again, I want to get your take. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you think I'm over the top, radical, extremist, and getting all worked up about nothing? Or do you think the alarm needs to be sounded? Do you think that so many of us in the church today, including leaders, are comfortable in the midst of darkness and sin, are almost falling asleep in the midst of it, that our hearts aren't broken, that we're not grieving, that we're not seeking God as the hour would demand? If Paul could write in Romans 13, then the hour is later than we realize, and let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. If he could write that in the first century, how much more does that apply to us today in the 21st century? How costly is it to be a disciple? Oh, on the one hand, salvation is a free gift, right? Can't earn it, can't work for it. You could fast until you drop. You could pray around the clock until you collapse. You could witness to everything that moves for the next 6 months. Can't earn your salvation. You could reform your life. You could quit lying, stealing, lusting, doing drugs, drinking, being unkind, whatever it is. You try to quit all those things and get as far as you could up the ladder of moral improvement, although we still have an infinite way to go that we'd never get. You still can't earn your salvation. You could repay everyone you took money from or took advantage of and give them 10 times back. You still can't earn your salvation. You could tell God you're sorry 1,000 times an hour. You can't earn your salvation. It is a free gift. It is a free gift that comes as we ask God to save us through faith in Jesus, that we recognize our guilt, that we recognize Jesus died for our sins, that he died to forgive us and give us a brand new start so that now we live to do the will of God. Salvation is a free gift, but it is a free gift that costs you everything. In other words, we are saved to be disciples. We are not saved just to get a free ticket into heaven. We are not saved just to have God forgive us. We are saved to come into his family, to be his sons and daughters, and to serve him forever. And the call to be disciples is not just for the real extreme, erratic. Wow, you're on fire for Jesus. I think he wants you to be a disciple. I think you're called to be a missionary, a street preacher, a Mother Teresa in your community. You're a disciple. No, the call to discipleship is for every single one of us who profess faith in Jesus. We are saved to serve. It is a free gift that now requires the complete dedication of our lives over to the Lord. I'm going to go to the phones pretty quickly today. I've got a lot of scripture I want to share with you, and I'm planning to do this for a couple hours straight, actually. Scripture, some quotes to challenge, to inspire, some stories from other parts of the world, from history, to strengthen, to encourage, to inspire. I want to also present this to you and say, what a shame to live our whole lives and find out that we serve God with half a heart. Wasn't it Basilius Schlink, the godly German Christian leader, who said, oh, what a loss for time and eternity to love Jesus with only half a heart? When I speak of the urgency of the hour, you know, school shootings again yesterday, chaos and upheaval around the world, so many crises within the families here in America. And yes, I oppose President Obama's moral policies. I differ with so many of his policies. I do not want to see him reelected in terms of my own vote. But President Obama is not the problem in America. And the Democratic Party is not the problem in America. And the Republican Party is not the problem in America. The problem in America is a sleeping compromised church. I want to say that again. Oh yes, I oppose gay activism, and I believe that it is a destructive force in our society. While I care for the people, I oppose gay activism. But gay activism is not the biggest problem in America today. The biggest problem in America today is a sleeping compromised church. I'll deal with all the relevant issues, but I'll put the emphasis where it needs to be. We must wake up. We must turn to God. We must find out what it really means to be disciples. So Jesus has large crowds following him in Luke 14. What does he do? He sifts them. Yeah, they followed him. They saw the miracles. They had their stomachs filled on different occasions, but he sifted the crowds. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, this is Luke 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Meaning that every other tie that holds us from obedience to him must be broken. It doesn't mean you go home and tell your spouse, I despise you, and now you're being a follower of Jesus. Nor does it simply just mean love less. I know there are other ways he could have said that. It is the utter breaking of every tie that would divide our heart. And then, with an undivided heart for the Lord, we can be better spouses, better parents, better children, better brothers, better sisters than we have ever been. Jesus said, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In other words, you take up the cross, you say goodbye to this world, you say goodbye to the claims of this world, and now you live to do the will of God. You die to this world and live to do the will of God. Jesus said, after giving some analogies, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. As put in the Message paraphrase, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. Or as the late evangelist Tom Skinner said, there are those people who say, well, God doesn't mean for us to give up everything. I can follow Christ and do my thing without giving up everything. They say what the Bible really means is that we should be willing to. Tom Skinner said, check out that verse. Do you see the word willing? And in fact, if you're truly willing, then taking the next step of obedience is easy. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got an important new article on townhall.com called The Kids Are Not Always All Right, with some very poignant quotes, a poem from a child of an anonymous sperm donor, and it really addresses these issues of kids raised in same-sex households and kids raised with anonymous sperm donors or anonymous surrogate moms. And it's important to read. It's disturbing but important. The Kids Are Not Always All Right. It's on townhall.com. Read it. Recommend it to your friends. 866-34-TRUTH. Nick in Farmingdale on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hey, oh, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? My name is Nick. I just want to say thank you for being so candid and honest on the radio, and you've hit it right on the head. The church today is asleep, and I'm more frustrated today with believers than I am with non-believers because they're just not out discipling. We're worried about all these other issues about the government and who's running for office and all these things that aren't as important as the fact that the world is dying. People are dying spiritually. Even the earth is dying. The animals are disappearing. There's all kinds of animal die-offs. God is screaming out to the world, listen to me, and the church is just not preaching that. It's just half asleep.
Nick, let me ask you a question. If someone just asked you, not in a technical way, but you know, what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to make disciples? How would you answer that just in your own words?
Following Christ, getting to know Christ, and making him known in simplest forms. To know him and to make him known.
Got it. All right, hey, Nick, let's live this out. We can always point out what's wrong. The challenge is to live it out, so let's do it. Thank you, sir, for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. Robert in Dumont, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, doctor. How you doing, brother? How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. Wonderful. And a great topic. happen to be reading a book that's kind of pointing this out as well. And, I would say that being a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, is building our relationship with him in utter truth, where we're confessed to him utterly. So there's no hidden sin that's hoarded. And I think what happens is, you know, we've created a social structure of people gathering together, and we call it church, yet we don't really disciple one another in a sense, have those someone you're accountable to, and we know the Lord is our mediator between God and man. But yet in a practical way, I think the Lord works through brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to
calling us deeper than just church attendance. Hey, Robert, I'm going to pursue that thought on the other side of the break, but thank you, sir, for calling. We'll be back. Who wants to be a disciple?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you have not yet been to my Facebook page, that's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, there's a very powerful moving picture there of a Pakistani man, a former Muslim. When he got saved, Muslims chopped his arms off when he put his faith in Jesus, after which he was baptized. And you know, when you're baptized in a country like Pakistan, country like India, coming out of Hinduism, coming out of Islam, that's really when the persecution normally starts, when you make your public statement of faith. The folks we work with in India, when we baptize them, when I'm there annually and we do a water baptism, my friend Yesupadam that leads the baptism and is often engaged in discipling these people, he'll ask them at the baptism, are you willing to follow Jesus by life or by death to the last drop of breath? That's it. That's a water baptism, because you're making a public profession that Jesus is Lord. It's often costly. We're talking about the cost of discipleship, the privilege of discipleship, what it means to be a disciple. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Our last caller made reference to the fact that we've got to be completely honest with God and deal with sin in our lives and have people we're in accountable relationships with. And of course, close relationships help us deepen our walk with God. Absolutely. Close relationships can encourage us, can help us go deeper, can help us be honest and not play games with sin and things like that. But, you know, often, and this is not what our last caller was referring to, but often we still have kind of a misconception of discipleship, which we simply mean going to a Bible study with someone that helps us know the Lord better. Now, knowing the Lord is the foundation for everything. But the call to discipleship really is a radical call. It really is a call to say goodbye to this world and life in this world and now live as followers of Jesus in this world, making a difference, making an impact. We see the fanaticism of the Muslims, the radical Muslims, and protesting over Quran burnings, which, of course, wasn't even done intentionally by American troops. We see that. We see the violence of some of the Islamic extremists. But we also see religious Muslims as a whole being very devoted, very devoted by the very nature of their religion, praying five times a day, fasting during the month of Ramadan, during the waking of the daylight hours, and feasting at night, but still fasting the entire month during the day, certain discipline, a certain devotion. A traditional Jew will have commandments that are lived by day and night, certain demands on that person and what they can eat and what they can wear and the prayers they pray and when they do it. There's a certain discipline commitment with it. We often somehow get the idea that following Jesus is just loosey-goosey. Let me say again, it's not earning his favor. It's not, I'm going to really work hard and earn the favor of the Lord. No, it's because we have his favor that everything is his. And that's why Jesus shed his blood, so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose from the dead. Isn't that what's written in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter? Isn't it written in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, that we've died and our lives are now hidden with the Messiah in God? So everything is radically redefined, and I can't help but thinking that a lot of times in our conferences and our preaching and our teaching and our ministry emphases, we're just putting icing on a bad cake. We're not getting to the heart and soul of matters. And I wonder if we could really read all the words of Jesus to our congregations, or if I could share them openly with you listening without people turning the dial off or walking out of our church buildings because it's too extreme. I wonder if Jesus is too extreme and radical for us. Or can we say, okay, in this world, moms, dads, working jobs, being responsible with our lives, doing everything that we're responsible to do as solid citizens, not being weirdos, can we really be disciples in the midst of this society? 866-34-TRUTH. Gloria in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown?
Yes, you're on the air, Gloria. Go ahead.
Yes, God bless you. The reason why I'm calling is because I really understand that in order to be a disciple of Christ, so Jesus, we really have to submit our life to Him. We really have to serve Him. And we have many examples in the Bible. Daniel was one of the examples how he served the Lord without compromising. So
yes,
as Christians, we need to serve the Lord and not compromise our belief, our trusting Him. And no matter what we go through, we have to really believe that He is going to deliver us from whatever situation. We know and we trust that He is our Lord. He is our Savior.
Yes. And Gloria, using the example of Daniel, is a great point because he was in a more pagan environment than we can imagine. I mean, he's there as a captive, as a slave, and he's under the king's thumb in that sense. And yet he dares to say, I've got to follow my convictions and do what is right. And God blesses him for it. And the Hebrew young men in Daniel, the third chapter, that are going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they say, our God can deliver us if He wants, but if not, we're not bowing down.
Amen.
That's the attitude we have, not one of arrogance, not one of self-righteousness, not one of anger. We recognize the authority of leaders, but we cannot compromise our convictions for the sake of government, whatever. Tomorrow afternoon, part of the show, I plan to be doing an interview with a Christian leader in Canada that will be eye-opening, where the issue of doing what's right in God's sight, regardless of cost or consequence, is becoming more and more relevant. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to speak as a leader to my fellow leaders, to pastors, teachers, Bible school leaders, evangelists, church planters, messianic congregational leaders. I want to speak as a leader to my fellow leaders and encourage you to make disciples. I want to remind you of what John Wesley said, where all approve, few profit. I want to remind you of what a Puritan leader said, that ministers are physicians and not cooks and should not study to please the palate, but to cure the patient. I want to remind you that God's going to test everything by fire, and we may have things that look impressive on the outside, but if we're not really producing disciples or we're doing things for fleshly motivation, that will go up in the flames anyway. And I want to encourage you that many people are really willing to go for it, and if you'll help lead the way, you'll find devoted followers. Okay, we got a great response yesterday, and we're continuing this week. My new book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. Friends that have read parts of it are super excited. I believe it will be the most effective Jewish outreach tool I've ever produced. Fascinating reading for Christians. We'll take you on a journey that will open your eye chapter after chapter, and a phenomenal tool to give to a Jewish friend. We have an exclusive hardcover edition of the book that will be out in early April. I was graced supernaturally by the Lord to write it in a short period of time and working with a phenomenal publisher, getting it out in a short period of time. And you can pre-order a special numbered and signed copy of the hardcover for $50, which also helps us in our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, helps us do the very thing we're doing on radio today. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 9978. The first 500 copies will be numbered and personally signed. 1-800-278-9978. If you can't afford that, don't worry. The paperback edition will be out early April, but this is a special pre-order. You can also order online. Folks had a couple of problems yesterday. We've got that resolved. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Friends, how about looking in the mirror and asking the question, am I a disciple? Am I a disciple? If not, God will give us the grace to live this out.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, we are focused on a very, very important subject today, the subject of being disciples, true followers of Jesus. I'm not asking how much have you worked for the Lord in the last month to prove that you're saved. I'm saying, as a saved person, as a saved man or woman, as a follower of Jesus, are you really living this thing out? Or are you truly being a disciple? Have you said my all for him? Spirit, soul, body, mind, heart, strength, leaving nothing behind, everything given over to the Lord. I'm his. He's my Lord, Savior, Master. Whatever he desires of me, that's my will. His will in my life is all I live for. That's being a disciple. Is that your heart? Or have you gotten saved through a convenience gospel? Maybe it's not even a saving gospel. What's in it for me gospel? God's there for me. God's there to help me. And if he doesn't help me enough, then I'm not. Is that what we think of? Well, I'm not going to that church anymore because it's the service too long. The parking there, it's just atrocious. You know, the children's program? Oh, okay, those are all minor issues. But what about living for Jesus as a disciple? What about saying this is not about me? This is about bearing fruit. This is about making a difference. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have not yet been to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, please go there. I posted a picture that's getting a lot of comments and reshares. It's the picture of a former Muslim man being baptized by a friend of mine in Pakistan. You'll see that both of his arms have been chopped off after coming to faith in Jesus as a Muslim. Muslims chopped both of his arms off, after which he was publicly baptized. This is a picture of a disciple. There is a cost in discipleship. Those listening on the Truth Network, just go to the Truth page as well on their website, and you will see a picture of this man. I want to say this again. We do not earn our salvation, but salvation costs us everything. It is a call to follow Jesus with everything in us, a call to be disciples. When a man gets married, he's not going to have other girlfriends still. He's not going to be having his old girl associates in the old dates. No, this is his wife, his love for the rest of his life, period. Same with her. Well, how much more? How much more when Jesus says, follow me? And how much more do we have to leave other things, other interests, other things that divide our hearts and follow him? 866-34-TRUTH. Donald in Yonkers, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. A pleasure once again to be on your show and to make a comment. And what a wonderful question of discipleship that you gave. And as your people are speaking, you look at yourself and you ask yourself what kind of disciple you really are. We're called to bring forth that truth that sets us free. In R.C. Sproul Jr.'s book, Tearing Down Strongholds, he says, the God of all power is the God of all truth, and the God of all power has given us truth's name. Truth does have a name, and it is Jesus, the Christ.
Mm.
Being a disciple of that which is the truth is important that we bring that forth strongly. I was ministering to a Muslim once, and he, as I brought him into my office and we spoke and we shared ideas back and forth, he said to me, you know, talking to you is like getting hit with a iron fist with a velvet glove.
Mm.
So we should transition the people with love, not so forcefully that we make a stand that is abrasive, but we have to get that common ground.
Yeah, and Donald, just gotta jump in because we've got a break. The key thing, absolutely, we walk in love, but don't water down the truth of the gospel. Tell people the truth. Look in the mirror. Tell yourself the truth. These are the weightiest issues in the world.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's Tuesday. We are focused on teaching, meaning opening up the Word of God, talking about a scriptural subject or theology or apologetics, practical living. And again, my question, it's a perennial question with me. Who really wants to be a disciple? What is the cost of discipleship? Are we really living out this faith the way it's given to us in Scripture? Are we really living out this faith in a way that makes sense in the light of eternity? Are we living out this Jesus faith in a way that makes sense in the light of what's happening in the world today? A special interview with a Canadian Christian leader from LifeSight News tomorrow that will be very eye-opening for you. And you'll hear it this time tomorrow and then the first segment of the next half hour as well. So folks in different parts of the country will be getting different parts of that interview. But when you realize what's happening in society, that should be a wake-up call in terms of how we should be living. I am not Mr. Know-It-All. I do not claim to have all the answers for the body or to be the man, the teacher, having the truth. What folly. There's the truth of the gospel that we have in common. But this much I know, this much I know. I've been following the Lord now for 40 years. I've been following him through some ups and downs, difficult times, wonderful times. I've been following him at times with my heart more devoted and at times with my heart less devoted to my shame. I want to say this, though. I've learned a few things in the 40 years. And I want to say that the word is quite plain. And my experience working with believers around the world is quite plain. And church history is quite plain. And what's happening in the world right now as I speak is quite plain. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. There are no magic paths that you take that bypass the cross. And for the most part, what I have seen over the years is that we major on the minors. And we get all worked up over secondary issues. And even so much of our preaching and teaching, it's almost like you've got someone in the hospital dying of a disease, and we're doing seminars on bedding, which type of bedding is more comfortable. We're doing seminars on seminars on, you know, how to sew if someone has a rip on their hospital gown, how to sew. No, we've got someone in a life and death situation, and we have a life and death message, and we need to be addressing these life and death things. But for the most part, we're concentrating on other things. I've asked the question in our church growth seminars, because we got all the methods how to do it and do this and do that, and the ushers have to greet like this, and the children's care has to be like this, and the parking like this, and the building situated like this, or the service is running like this. And I don't mind being practical. If someone walks in the door, you don't want them to think that they've walked into a hostile environment. And if someone entrusts kids to you for a couple hours, you want to pour into them and be a blessing. Yeah, and if you think you're going to grow a healthy church by preaching 15-hour sermons on Sunday, unless you are about the most anointed person in the world, it's not going to happen. I don't mind being practical, but that's not the key. None of those things are the key. And I've wondered, how many church seminars, church growth seminars, have topics like multiplication by martyrdom, the key to church growth, where people stand for Jesus at any cost and they get cut down and suddenly the gospel spreads like wildfire in that country? I don't seem to hear that a lot. I'm not on the radio to be bashing other churches, pastors, leaders, and I'm not asking you to call in and bash. I'm saying let's be honest and let's address the elephant in the room. Something's missing. And I would dare say if we just read the words of Jesus week in, week out, in many of our congregations, people would have a real hard time with it. Look, the word Christian occurs three times in the New Testament, Acts 11, Acts 26, 1 Peter 4, and it's probably a derogatory title like those Christ ones. It'd be like if people were listening to me on the radio and they got called Brownites or something like that. It's derogatory from what we can tell. The word believer, that's an important word because we're justified by faith and we're called to believe. That occurs, 26 times, something like that, in the whole New Testament, the word believer? The word disciple occurs more than 260 times in the New Testament, including more than 230 times in the Gospels and 28 times in Acts. That's how the believers were defined in Acts. The number of disciples grew, number of disciples grew, number of disciples grew. Why is it that when we start to live out the claims of Jesus, people think we're crazy, we're fanatical, we're extreme? Now, some people are crazy, fanatical, extreme. I admit that. Some people are deluded. Some people hear voices that are not the voice of God, and they do things that are not commanded in Scripture. They do things contrary to the Scriptures, and they think they alone have the revelation. Oh, okay. But just because somebody's deluded, is that going to stop you from being obedient? Many of you have read David Platt's book, Radical. So many wonderful points he makes, and he's got practical suggestions to live this thing out, which is really helpful. The thing that gets my attention, though, is that we call that radical. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, by all means, I recommend the book, but we call it radical. That's the title of his book, and he'd be the first to say, hey, this is just being a normal disciple according to the New Testament. Yeah, think of writing a book like that. Normal. Normal. I've told people for years, I'm not trying to be any kind of superstar. I just want to be a normal follower of Jesus according to the New Testament. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Nelson in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how you doing today, sir?
Blessed, man. Thank you.
Dr. Brown, I just wanted to let you know real quick, man. I just got really hooked on your show a few weeks ago, and I've already purchased the book Revolution. Just I love your demeanor, your teaching, the way you teach in such a clear, plain manner. I just love it.
Well, thank you. But, thank you so much.
No problem. But, yes, I'm a minister myself, and I do a lot of street ministry outreach and quote-unquote in the hood. I'm a young black man, 31 years old. I do what they call gospel rap. Mm. And I know, you know, even though it's the quote-unquote hood, and it would be people would maybe consider in their mind that people aren't, you know, very educated in that area. But I've come to realize that when you go to these areas that you have to have an understanding of God's word and things of that nature in order to convey it to people in all different forms and fashions. But yeah. Nevertheless, I called to say this. I've never been to seminary, but I've you know, studied. I know what a hermeneutics is, exegesis. I have a Greek-Hebrew concordance. I love studying commentaries and just getting a deeper understanding of God's word. But basically, I did a study on disciple one point in time because I had a strong conviction about that and wanting mm-hmm. to be, you know, wanting to not necessarily be called, not wanting to be called a Christian, but just noticing that to people of the world this day, the word Christian doesn't really mean anything to them anymore.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it. If it's one thing if you're like in a Muslim country and you become a Christian or a Hindu country become a Christian, but America, Christian is just another word. 75% of Americans claim to be Christian. What does it mean? You're right.
And so I studied the word disciple, and from the word disciple, I got that disciple means to be a scholar. And what does a scholar do? They do an in-depth study, but not just to be doing an in-depth study. For the most part, generally, a scholar does an in-depth study to live by now what they're studying, you know, psychology, you know, physical therapy or, you know, theology, right. Just whatever. They're scholars of that department. They get their bachelor's, their associate's, bachelor's, master's, all these things. And that's, to me, what being, you know, a disciple for Christ is, being a scholar of him, not only just claiming him in your heart, but knowing who he is, studying
yeah.
him, and desiring to make God smile at you, make the Father smile at you, and the Son proud that you are a part of the kingdom with him. And so
yeah,
and
Nelson, just to jump in, yeah, the thing is, it's to be a student, but not in the sense of abstract knowledge, but in the sense of personal application, knowing him to become like him. And so a first century rabbi or Jewish teacher, you know, disciples would be drawn after that person, and they would sit and they would learn from that person. And then the goal was to emulate them. Jesus said that the student is like his teacher. And you know, Nelson, far better than me in the places that you minister. There's a lifestyle that the enemy's gotten into people's heads. There's a lifestyle the way folks have been raised in broken homes. There's a lifestyle with drugs or with violence. We're not just adding some information about Jesus, because a lot of these kids even grow up around churches. We've got to show them a radical lifestyle lived out, And then it's come follow me as I follow Jesus. Learn of me, yes. He says. So yes. that's how it works out, man. And may the Lord give you grace and wisdom to be like a Pied Piper, to live this thing out. So if people knew the way you lived in private, they'd say, hey, man, I want to be like Nelson, because Nelson is all about Jesus. And look, people are looking for something. You know it. And I believe that when folks have given themselves to drugs or to violence or to drinking or to sex or to the business world or whatever it is, when they discover who Jesus really is and we show them what it really means to follow him, they'll leave everything and follow him. May the Lord give you grace to see a real revolution, you and your coworkers there in Houston, Texas. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I love this definition. This is from the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology. It's about the word disciple that we're focused on today. Following Jesus as a disciple means the unconditional sacrifice of his whole life for the whole of his life. To be a disciple means, as Matthew in particular emphasizes, to be bound to Jesus and to do God's will. Let me read this again. Following Jesus as a disciple means the unconditional sacrifice of his whole life for the whole of his life. To be a disciple means, as Matthew in particular emphasizes, to be bound to Jesus and to do God's will. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to say again that I believe, just as those who are listening to me are affirming and write to me and tell me face-to-face and call in and share, I want to affirm again that there are many of God's people hungry and thirsty and are ready to go deeper and are ready to go further. Now, I know, a lot of times we can be frustrated as church leaders and we can call for people to show up at a certain thing and they don't. And if it's a social event, the place is packed. If it's an outreach, you get a few people. What we have to do is pray for reviving in the hearts and minds of God's people and keep casting the net out, and those with hunger and thirst lead deeper. For all youth pastors that are listening to me, I've done youth ministry just a little. Most of the teaching and ministry I've done has been for college age and older in a school setting. But I have some understanding about this. And what I'd encourage you to do is when you're doing youth ministry, you get kids from all backgrounds. You get kids that aren't even saved, whose parents make them attend meetings. And obviously, you've got to graciously go after everybody you can and try to involve everybody you can and throw the net out as wide as you can. But often youth ministers stop there. No, that's then you're definitely falling short of the calling and definitely not going to help the kids that are hungry, thirsty. What you need to do is find those that want to go deeper. And give them opportunities. Say, hey, listen, I'm going to be praying tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, from 6 to 9 in the morning. Anyone wants to join me? Great. Well, then you're going to have an elite little circle. Well, then let others get jealous and come also. Hey, I'm going to be hitting the streets such and such afternoon and handing out tracts or sharing the gospel, whatever method or means you use, if you want to join me. Give them opportunities to go deeper with you. Hey, I'm having a special Bible study, and we're going to be memorizing scripture together and doing this and that. Give people an opportunity to go deeper. And those that want to go deeper will go deeper. You say, well, then you have the haves and the have-nots. Well, then let the have-nots get jealous because of what the haves have, and let the haves reach out with love and compassion to help the have-nots along. But let's not stay in the shallow waters. Let's not stay in the shallow waters. Jesus calls us to be disciples, and that is something quite radical. 866-34-TRUTH. Sid in Comac on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you just said something I was about to say. We have to really be in the Bible, and we have to really follow discipleship. And there's no other definition to me. In John 8, Jesus said himself, if you hold on to my teachings, mm-hmm. you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We cannot be afraid of anything. We cannot be afraid of the rise of the enemies of Christ if we hold on to his teaching, because according to Paul, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yeah.
If we have all of that, if
and
we
Sid, that's,
hold on to the teaching, we can
that's
live
foundational,
for Christ.
Sid, that's foundational. Yes. That's not for the advanced believer. That's not for the super saint. That's normal. It is consistent, wholehearted following of Jesus. Sid, thank you for the call. Exactly right. Quoting John 8, quoting Philippians, the first chapter. That's what it means to be a disciple. Sean in Freetown, Massachusetts. We're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Brown? It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Sean.
I feel that the churches in my area are watering down the definition of what you have to do to be a disciple to increase attendance or to make sure that they can survive. I mean, I see it all the time where they'll take almost anybody in as long as they get bodies in the pews. It doesn't matter how they act when they leave church.
Yeah, you know, Sean, obviously, everyone that's in ministry, you want to reach as many people as you could reach, you know? You want to help people. There's a big world out there, and if you're going to preach a message, rather hear more people, have more people hear it than less. If you're going to be doing a Bible study, rather reach more people than less. That being said, Sean, often we do it either intentionally or unintentionally, but we water the thing down to make people more comfortable. We avoid offensive things, imagining somehow that we'll eventually get to it. You know, it's almost like I invite you out for a meal at this fabulous restaurant with the hope that if you really like it, then I can get you to clean the toilets afterwards. No, if I start with inviting you to a fancy restaurant for a nice meal, you're not, the last thing you're going to do is stick around and clean the bathroom. So we've got to tell people the truth. And here's the deal, Sean. If Jesus is really working in our midst, and if we're preaching the message in the power of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's really touching lives, we don't have to compromise. You know, we know what we have to do. We have to tell people, now, you really need to be sure if you want to follow Jesus because it's costly. You really need to be sure if you want to follow the Master because it's going to mean everything and people may turn against you. We degrade Jesus. Sean's absolutely right. We diminish him. We degrade him by trying to cheapen the message consciously or unconsciously so as to draw in more people. Presenting the real Jesus will turn a lot of people away, but will ultimately get the greatest harvest of all time. May we step higher. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are all lit up, but I'm happy to talk to you in the next few minutes. So stay with me through the break, and we'll be taking your calls in the next hour. Those leaving us, remember, you can listen to both hours online at askdrbrown.org as we're on 2 hours live every day. You can catch the show later on our archives for free. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Friends, we announced yesterday, I was so excited to do this. We announced yesterday that we are now taking pre-orders on a special hardcover edition that will be numbered and signed for the first 500 copies of my new book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. I believe it's going to be an incredible eye-opening journey for Christians to read this. Wow! Discovery the whole way. And to give to a Jewish friend, it's going to be amazing. And if they've read Shmuley, my friend Rabbi Shmuley's book, Kosher Jesus, all the better to get it to them. So for $50, for your gift of $50, we will send you a numbered and signed hardcover edition of the book when it comes out early April. So be among the very first. We had a great response yesterday. Be among the very first. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. The book's due out early April, and I look forward to signing this special numbered edition for you. 1-800-278-9978 to order your copy of The Real Kosher Jesus, an exclusive hardcover edition, or go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. Jesus set the standard high. My bottom line, Jesus set the standard high. Let's not lower it. Jesus gave his blood to purchase us body, soul, spirit, mind, strength, so that we would be completely and entirely his. How much did he give for you? That's how much you owe to him. There's so much talk in the church about this new program and this new approach. How about getting back to the basics? How about what does it mean to be a disciple?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is what Jesus said. Not Mike Brown, not some other radio teacher, not some pastor, author, leader. This is what Jesus said. A student or disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student, disciple, to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, devil himself, how much more the members of his household? What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to really be a follower of Jesus? He himself said, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. I wonder how many disciples there are in the house. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you think we're compromising the message? Do you think we're watering it down in the church world today in America? You think we're trying to preach a convenience gospel to basically tell people how they can have their cake and eat it too? Or are we telling the truth? Are we bringing the truth at any cost, at any consequence? On my Facebook page, I posted a picture an hour ago that has gotten a lot of attention. People are sharing it, posting it elsewhere, commenting. So go to my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And here's what I posted. It is a picture of a water baptism taking place in Pakistan. The man doing the baptism is a friend of a friend of mine. And this man was a Muslim that's getting baptized in Pakistan, which is a heavily, strictly Muslim nation. He is getting baptized, and you see he's wearing a t-shirt and slacks. He's being hugged by this brother who just baptized him. But you see, he's got no arms. He's just got tiny little stumps coming out of the shoulders. Both his arms were chopped off. Why? Because he was a Muslim and he became a follower of Jesus. Radical Muslims chopped his arms off. After which, I can't emphasize this enough, after which he was baptized and made a public profession of faith, which is really about the most dangerous thing you can do in a Muslim country, to be publicly baptized and make a profession of faith in Jesus. He did it. He did it after having his arms chopped off. That's a picture of a disciple. And it speaks to us more than all of our best words and phrases. It paints a picture more than any words can, following Jesus at any cost, any consequence. Take a look at the picture. Share it with your friends. It's on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I was at a leaders meeting one time. I forget the exact setting in which this happened, but this picture came to mind so plainly in my mind's eye. There were scales, you know, balance scales. And on one side were thousands of feathers on the scale. On the right side, thousands of feathers, and just falling, I mean, piled as high as you could pile, falling off the side, and the scale barely moved a drop. And the other side, it was just like a little rock or precious stone, and when it went on the other side of the scale, shoot, it completely shifted. Completely shifted. And immediately, the Lord spoke to my heart. Churchgoers versus a disciple. People that just attend services, people that are religious, people that have some type of form of churchianity versus a disciple, the weight of one disciple, of one devoted follower of Jesus, of one who said, Lord, you've given your all for me. You call me to give my all to you. The weight of that one disciple far outweighed the value, the impact of thousands of simply church goers. Talk about discipleship today here on The Line of Fire.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Tuesday, this day of teaching, opening up the Word, talking theology, biblical subjects, doctrine, practical living, apologetics. That's what we do on Tuesdays, and our focus today is on what it means to be a disciple, the cost of discipleship. Not how do we earn our salvation, but how do we live as saved people? How do we live as forgiven people? Well, am I required to? Do I still get to heaven? What kind of a question is that? Who asked that question? Come on, who asked that question? Okay, honey, I'll marry you, but do I have to give up, you know, my other girlfriends and romances? And who asked a question like that? Does someone that's in love ask a question like that? If your question is, what's the minimum I can do to get to heaven? I question your salvation. I question your salvation. I question whether Jesus is truly your Lord. You're going to upset a lot of people. Well, maybe some of the people need to be upset. If your question is, Lord, what can I do to please you and serve you? Maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you're embarrassed of how you've fallen short. I can say that about myself. But my goal is, Lord, what can I do to please you? How can I make the maximum out of the life that I have to give you honor and joy? How can I repay the debt of gratitude that I owe you? Friends, I believe in so many cases we water down the message and we try to lower the standard as if that's going to get people in. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I saw part of a documentary one time about Green Bay Packers football, and the season ticket holders basically have everything sold out for years in advance. So to get a ticket for a game, just to show up, get a ticket, someone's hawking tickets, otherwise you can't order a ticket, buy a ticket. And it's a goal that people have to be season ticket holders. Now I actually heard fathers saying that as soon as they had their son, the son was born, as soon as he got a Social Security number, they immediately put the son on the list for a season ticket with the Green Bay Packers. And they said they know they'll never get it in their lifetime, but it could be 20, 30 years down the line when their son is now grown that the kid may get a season ticket. Oh, okay. Pretty outrageous, right? It's mind-boggling to even be thinking like that and the value of a ticket for a football game. But the point is, I don't think the Green Bay Packers organization apologizes for the prices. I don't think the Green Bay Packers organization says, we're so sorry that we charge as much as we do and we know ticket prices can be expensive. No, that ticket is a commodity. And to go to that game is like the biggest thing imaginable. And in point of fact, friends, a Green Bay Packers ticket, a season ticket for every football game, every football team in the world for the rest of this world's duration is not one billionth of a trillionth of a whatever the word is. What do the little kids say? Gazillionth? I don't know what comes next. It cannot be compared if you multiplied it a trillion times over to salvation in Jesus, to knowing the Lord, to having our sins forgiven. And yet we think, no, he doesn't really require that. No, he wouldn't ask you. No, you just come as you are and you stay as you are because he's just so kind and loving. What kind of message is that? Why do we preach that? Why don't we tell people, he requires everything you have, every last thing. Mm-hmm. Every last thing. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got some quotes I want to share with you in a moment. Also, go to Town Hall when you get a chance today, townhall.com, right on the homepage, an important article. The kids are not always all right. According to a popular 2010 movie, the children of anonymous sperm donors are often successful at tracking down their donor dads. And in the end, to use the movie's title, the kids are all right. The anonymousus.org website, which features the real-life stories of voluntary and involuntary participants in these reproductive technologies, paints a very different picture. It's disturbing. It's important to read. It reminds us of the importance of really living this message out because we are in a dying, very, very confused world. My question. Why must we lower the standard? Why must we tell people it's just so easy to get in. Oh, you don't have to do anything. No, no, no. Just pray this little prayer. That's it. You have eternal life. Your sins are forgiven. God becomes your father. You get a get out of jail free card. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all kinds of other benefits and perks. You know, we'll tell you about that in the weeks to come. Or we can sweeten the deal right now. Well, why do we do that with Jesus? Well, you know, A.W. Tozer said that the whole accept Christ mentality that we have today, you know, just accept Christ without talking about the demands, without talking about what's required. He said that whole mentality has Jesus outside, waiting outside, you know, with hat in hand, hoping that we'll accept him. Will you let him in? It's cold outside, and Jesus is out there in the cold, and will you open the door? It's raining out. Will you accept him? Yes, I think I'll have compassion on Jesus and accept him. What kind of nonsense is that? He's had compassion on us and died for us, and he died for us to purchase us, and we now belong to him. Everything, spirit, soul, mind, body, everything belongs to him. 866-34-TRUTH. In fact, oh, where is this quote? Let me see if I can find this quote from Tozer. Where did I put it? All right, I'm going to find it during a break and share it. I think it's relevant. I think it's edifying. I think it's stirring. But my concern is that we are accommodating the message to the climate around us with the thought that somehow that's going to produce followers of Jesus. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is going to produce people who have a what's in it for me mentality. And when testing comes, when challenges come, you know what's going to happen? People will go their own way. Salvation is a free gift that costs us everything, because now our whole life belongs to the Lord. He has purchased our salvation. And then we now live to do the will of God. That's what the gospel's about. And we see it lived out in Acts and in the gospels, where Jesus says, follow me, and people follow him. And you may still have your job. You may still have your house. You may still have your bank account. You may leave all those things. Doesn't matter. Either way, here we are. Send us, use us. We're here to make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Doug in Brooklyn. Hey, man, good to hear from you.
Hey.
Before we get to the discipleship subject at hand, anything new in terms of Jewish outreach as you've been laboring among the Jewish people these many decades?
Well, we're going to have the Isaiah 53 campaign in Los Angeles next month.
Wonderful, yeah.
And yes, that's going to be exciting. Be a whole month out there and advertise it. And some other work going on that I won't mention, just starting.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
We're pretty excited on campus. Campus ministry especially is in my heart.
And Doug, what do you see happening on the campuses?
I see a hunger to know the Lord, to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not to know about him, but to know him. That's what I see. And we hope to open the eyes of people, showing the prophecies in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Old Testament, that Jesus is Mashiach, you know, he is Messiah.
Yes.
That's our goal.
Good. All right. You wanted to say something about discipleship, so please do.
Sure. I've always been impressed with Jesus' calling of Matthew. Jesus simply said to him, follow me.
Mm.
And Matthew and Luke 5:27 says, so he left all, rose up and followed him. Matthew must have really trusted just to get up and leave his tax table. And I think about the calling of the two sons of Zebedee in Matthew 4:21, and he called them, and it says, again, immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. And it sort of reminds me of, love your father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And lastly, when he appointed the 12, then he appointed the 12, this is Mark 3:14,
yeah.
Then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him, number one, that he might send them out to preach, number two, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons, number three. So I believe that if we, each one of us, when we accept the Lord, which I did when I was 11, and just follow him.
And how old are you now, Doug?
Hmm?
How old are you
what?
Now, Doug?
I'm only 79 now.
All right. I'm still on the front lines of ministry, amazingly. Yes, yeah, so you're saying when you turned to Jesus when you're 11 years old.
I did. And the reason I did, I wasn't raised in the church. I had never heard anything Jesus ever said. The reason I did, I felt that if God created me, he must have a plan for my life.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to live my life like he wasn't there. So I invited the Lord in my heart, and immediately I found out Jesus was part of it. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit was a person, not a gas.
And Doug, I've just got to jump in because we have a break. The fact is, when you realized who Jesus was, it obviously became the passion of your life to make him known. And here, 79 years old, front lines of campus outreach, outreach to Jewish people, traveling different parts of the country, putting materials out. Hey, he's a disciple. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a very important interview that will be airing at this time tomorrow with a guest from Canada, God willing, and your heart's going to be further stirred when you realize what's happening in the world around us and the darkness that we're in. Remember, this has been an issue, light and darkness from creation. This has been an issue throughout the New Testament in terms of the dark hour and the need to shine like lights. When you hear this interview tomorrow, your hearts are going to be even more stirred. It's time for us to stand up and make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Tom Skinner, I quoted him in the first hour, late evangelist Tom Skinner. He said, commitment is not fanaticism. Shall I repeat that? Commitment is not fanaticism. In substance, the 12th chapter of Romans says, I urge you to present your life to Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is a reasonable, normal action on your part. That's not fanatical. In fact, you're not normal or reasonable until you've made that kind of commitment. I'd said earlier in the first hour that I very much appreciated David Platt's book, Radical, and the call to be disciples in it and practical steps for believers to take to live this faith out. Ideally, and I'm sure he would agree, I assume he'd agree, the book should be called Normal. The book should be called Normal, right? Just normal. Just being a normal follower of Jesus. Look, when Saul of Tarsus, that was the Apostle Paul, the most Christian, Saul of Tarsus, when he realized who Jesus was, he was persecuting him, right? He thought he was doing the will of God, he was persecuting. When he realized who he was, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, here, I'm going to give you your assignment. This is your assignment, and you're going to suffer a lot for me. You know, that was communicated to him very quickly. Okay, that's my assignment. I love to illustrate the point like this. I was in India early on. It was our second trip to India. We had 10 people with us, Nancy and I, and 8 others total, I believe, 8 or 9 others total, so 10 people. And some of them were Indians, but they lived in America for many, many years or almost their entire lives. Everyone else was just from the States. We're over there ministering, and it was a brutal schedule. It was a really rigorous schedule on all-night bus rides and things like that, you know, and difficult travel, difficult living conditions when we're there, preaching, ministering. And the team would go out during the day, and they would go, it was very hot out, they would have a long day out in the villages sharing the gospel with translators and ministering to the sick in the villages. And I would do leadership teaching in the day, and then at night we'd all be together for the night meeting, and I'd preach at night, and we'd all pray for people afterwards. And we got into one particular city in Andhra Pradesh called Kakinada, and we just couldn't break through. I was there the year prior to that, and we had some powerful meetings. We just kind of hit a wall. And we only had 3 days there, and we really wanted to break through. So it was the end of the second day, and it's before the night meeting. So I gathered the team, and I said, and most people had been sick already on the trip. And I said, look, I know everybody's tired. I know some have been sick. I know it's really hot during the day. But look, can we do this? We'll have a meal before the meeting tonight, and then we won't eat anything afterwards. We won't eat breakfast or lunch, and then we'll have a meal tomorrow night. Or I guess after the meeting, we'll have a meal and then nothing until after the next night. So 24 hours. And I know it's hot. I know some have been sick. Can we do it? You drink liquids during the day, but no food. And everyone said, yeah, we can do that. So I go and tell my Indian brother, Yesupadam. I said, okay, here's the deal. We feel just to fast for 24 hours, so you don't need to prepare breakfast or lunch for the team. We're just going to fast 24 hours. We'll have a meal after the meeting tonight, but we won't have anything until after the meeting tomorrow night. We feel we need to break through. And he says, good idea. And he turns to his team, worship team, intercessors, and he says, no food till we break through. And they just nodded. Wait a second. I did this compassionate thing. We're weak, a little tired, and hot. Can we do it? Sick. You know, okay. 24 hours. He just looks at his team, says, no food till we break through. And they just nod. He didn't even say 24 hours. No food till we break through. Could be a day. Could be a week. Okay. I thought, okay, that's the difference between Indian disciples and American disciples. Jesus says, go for it. Follow me. And the deal is when we encounter him for who he really is, friends, when we encounter him for who he really is, we joyfully say, who cares about the gods of this age? I want to follow him. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Bradenton, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for letting me put a call through. I'm rather new to this, and I'm a bit about placing this call in the first place. But I just had possibly something that might be worth listening to for a possible addition and clarification. And I actually had a lot of respect for the young woman that was quoting her book earlier in the hour.
Okay.
She had a lot of valuable information, sure, related to marriage life. But I noticed.
I think you actually have called in to a different show. You're talking about another caller, so I think that's off topic. And stay on for a second. Maybe Andrew can help figure out which show you're actually listening to and what you're referring to. When you made reference to the woman and the material, I couldn't quite follow where you're going. But so hang in there, John, and Andrew will be with you in a minute and try to clarify what show you're actually trying to reach. I've got some very stirring quotes I want to share with you on the other side of the break. But let me share one just now from Robert Coleman, the author of wonderful books on evangelism and discipleship, a dear, dear brother I had the privilege of spending some time with when I was a visiting professor at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School some years ago. And then when he visited our school in Pensacola after that. But he said this, the cross was but the crowning climax of Jesus' commitment to do the will of God. It forever showed that obedience could not be compromised. It was always a commitment to death. Obedience could not be compromised. It was always a commitment to death. Meaning, when we take up our cross, we say no to this world. We take up our cross, we say goodbye to this world, and we say, now I'm yours to follow you. It may mean martyrdom. It may mean street preaching. May mean raising 10 kids. May mean being a millionaire and giving your money away. Who knows what it's going to mean, but it means my life now belongs to the Lord. When you really see him for who he is, it's wonderful. Otherwise, it's work harder, try harder, be a better just so you're not doing enough, and that's just bondage and death. But when you really encounter him, it's wonderful. Lord, you're everything to me. It's just like, you know, in the natural with marriage. You meet the one you want to marry, spend the rest of your life with. Hey, you gladly say no to everybody and everything else and live the rest of your life together. If you didn't hear yesterday's broadcast, we announced my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah, will be out early April. It's been an extraordinary grace, supernatural grace to get this book written and published. We have exclusive hardcover editions that will be started. First 500 will be numbered and signed for your gift of $50, which not only will pay for the book, but help us to continue this important outreach on radio in America and around the world. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. Be one of the first 500. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
On my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, I posted a picture, a moving picture that's getting a lot of comments, a lot of people liking it, many sharing it. It's a picture of a water baptism in Pakistan. It's a Pakistani Muslim man being baptized by a friend of a friend of mine. The man's arms have been chopped off. When he came to faith in Jesus, his arms were chopped off by Muslim radicals. And then after that, he was baptized. It's an extraordinary picture. And I'm looking at some of the comments as we focus on discipleship today, being true followers of Jesus here on The Line of Fire. And as I'm convinced that we have so watered down the message, so tried to make something appealing to people as opposed to presenting a glorious Jesus who is worth everything, worth living for, worth dying for. Raymond commented on the picture on my Facebook page, "Wow, and we get bent out of shape when we can't pay our bills. Praise God for the true heroes of the faith." 866-34-TRUTH. John and Betty Stamm were missionaries. They gave their lives as martyrs in China. They knew in going to China it would be dangerous, but they went. She had been raised by missionary parents. He had been raised in the States. They both went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and then she graduated right before him, went back to China. He went to China. They were married there. They had a child named Priscilla. The little girl really miraculously spared when the two of them were publicly mocked and then beheaded. John and Betty Stamm, 1930s, he's graduating from Moody. He is bringing the student message, and he says this: "Shall we beat a retreat and turn back from our high calling in Christ Jesus? Or dare we advance at God's command in face of the impossible? Let us remind ourselves that the Great Commission was never qualified by clauses calling for advance only if funds were plentiful and no hardship or self-denial involved. On the contrary, we are told to expect tribulation and even persecution, but with it, victory in Christ." That's the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Are we preaching a New Testament message of discipleship? Or are we preaching an American version where we cut a good deal for people? Are we preaching about Jesus as the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field? Finding him is worth leaving everything for. It's no sacrifice to leave everything to have him. It's the greatest joy. "Well, I made a big sacrifice in 1971. You know, I was doing drugs. I liked doing drugs, and I was playing drums in a rock band, and we thought we could be a really good rock band. We thought we could be rock stars one day and, you know, getting high and living that lifestyle, man. But I made a big sacrifice. I sacrificed all that for Jesus." No, not a sacrifice. He died to free me from my sins. He died to free me from rebellion. He died to free me from self-will. He died to free me from a sentence to hell. Whether there were drugs or not, whether it was godless rock music or not, whatever the lifestyle was, that's quite secondary to the fact that I was a lost sinner. He gave his blood for me. That was the sacrifice. Now I have the privilege. Now I have the honor. Now I have the joy of giving my life for him. Friends, we need to pray that Jesus will be so real in our eyes, and Jesus will be so real in our teaching and our preaching, that when people encounter him, they'll joyfully leave everything to follow him. When people encounter him, they'll say nothing else matters except knowing him and making him known. And if I've got a family, then my family's involved in the gospel. If I've got a job, then my job's involved in the gospel. And if I've got life and breath, then my life and breath is involved in the gospel. Here I am, send me, use me. For to live is Christ, me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the gospel. That's not extremism. That's not fanaticism. Again, to repeat what Tom Skinner said, commitment is not fanaticism. This is just giving our lives for the gospel, plain and simple. We will be back. Much more to come.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. If you have not yet gone to Town Hall, I've got a very important article there. The kids are not always all right. It's on townhall.com. You'll find it on the homepage. Children of anonymous sperm donors, kids raised in same-sex household, what happens with it? Important article to read. Recommend it to your friends on Facebook. Tweet it on Twitter. That's The Kids Are Not All Right on townhall.com. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884 as we talk about what it really means to be a disciple. We've got to go against the grain. We've got to go against the grain. We've got to go against the grain of the culture. We've got to go against the grain of the commercialism of the culture. I've preached messages over the years with the titles Consumers versus Disciples. We've got the consumer culture today and present the thing in such a way. We have church conferences. We teach the people, present the thing a certain way, make it marketable. You don't have to make Jesus marketable. You don't have to make Jesus marketable. He didn't try to make himself marketable. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life, the bread of life, the water of life, the gate, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And when we recognize who he is and present him for who he is and experience him for who he is, of course we want to sell everything to follow him. Of course we want to give up everything to follow him. We don't earn salvation by doing it, but following him means a brand new life. Following him means the end of the old, the beginning of the new. He said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And that means saying goodbye to this world, the hold, the pull of this world. So we work our jobs, we have our families, we do what we do in this world, but our priority, our message, our lifestyle, our everything is to be a disciple and to make disciples. I just don't hear that enough. I just don't hear that a lot coming from our pulpits, from our own mouths, from books and messages that get out, and websites. I mean, we're always trying to be relevant, always trying to figure out how to communicate, but that's secondary. When I was at National Religious Broadcasters Conference last week, there was a presentation done by Salem Communications, which syndicates our show across the country. As Truth Radio Network engineers our show and syndicate is our initial base, and then Salem Communications syndicates us across the country. Salem is very careful to be up on all the different ways, internet technology and the latest social networking. But they remind people, technology doesn't save anyone. It's the gospel message that saves them. It's the gospel message that saves, not our technology. And we are just trying to make Jesus palatable to people. Well, he's not extreme. No, he's very nice. Oh, no, he wasn't controversial. No, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Oh, he was so loving. Yeah, so loving, he told the truth radically and ruthlessly. He was going to lay his life down for a dying world. There's no comparison. There's no possibility to compare the word love in our lives with his. And that's the ultimate expression of love, and we try to emulate it, right? Did he compromise? Did he mince words? Did he worry about offending people? Or did he tell the truth with perfect love, perfect truth together? 866-34-TRUTH. John in Wilmington, Delaware, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thanks.
Like 5 years ago, I came to saving faith in Jesus, and I was raised Catholic, and I'm around a lot of Catholic people. And I got very, I don't know, anti-Catholic after I started studying Scripture. And I started, I guess, more or less pushing people away, and then through reading books of yours and Andrew Murray, and I just finished reading a book by Richard Bauckham, is that right? The Theology of Revelation.
Yeah, Richard Bauckham.
I was around a lot of people that were like, you know, they're the harlot, you know, you need to get out of there, you need to not associate with them. But where does someone go when you know that the, you know, the Catholic doctrine is not the full truth of Jesus, but you're surrounded by them? How do you disciple to that? Or do you go to the church with them and you stay with them, or do you disassociate yourself with them? That's where I struggle. What's your opinion?
Key thing you need to do is find other believers of like heart, whether it's in a home Bible study, whether it's at another church, and throw yourself in with them. people who have the same hunger, thirst, desire for Jesus, and I'm sure there are gospel preaching churches like that in your neck of the woods. And then if you're able to continue to reach out to your Catholic friends in different ways, by all means do that. But your allegiance is not to a church organization or a denomination. Your allegiance is to Jesus as Lord. And you've got to find other people of like faith, like heart, like mind, and throw yourself in together so that you can grow, that you can challenge each other to go deeper, that you can follow the Lord together. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul tells Timothy to flee youthful lusts and then to pursue righteousness, faith, peace with those of a like heart. So, you know, we turn away from sin, and then we go after the Lord and the things of the Lord with others of like heart. So if you've got some friends that have a like heart for Jesus, find out where they fellowship, what Bible study they're part of, what group they're part of, and join in. And where you can really throw yourself in and make a difference and grow yourself, that's where you do it. And if you do outreach in Catholic circles or other church circles where the people don't know the Lord the same way, that's your intent there. So you have one place for growing in the Lord, for being a disciple, and for working together with others, and then you reach out to those that don't know the Lord in other church settings. All right?
So is that like by like go even attending Mass and all that, even though like I understand now through years of study that's not, you know.
Yeah, well, that's between, if you can attend Mass and do outreach through it, fine. But if that is not your place of spiritual nurturing, if the gospel's not being preached there, if you disagree with the celebration of Mass as if Jesus is suffering once again, then there's no reason to be there.
Okay.
All right? And there are plenty of other opportunities to reach out to Catholic friends outside of attending Mass. All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let me share this quote with you. I've shared it in the past. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but a few years back during a practice in NFL, a football player on the Minnesota Vikings died. He was well-liked, and, you know, these are big guys. A lot of these athletes, linemen, are very, very big men, carrying a lot of weight, a lot of muscle, even some fat because of the role they play on the line. And intensive practices in the heat, pushing to the limit, and one of the players died. Any death is a tragedy. Here, you knew the guy, and you know the family effect. It was very traumatic for many people, of course. And afterwards, there was an interview with another NFL lineman named Grant Wistrom, and listen to what he said. We're talking about disciples. We're talking about following Jesus. We're talking about being devoted to the gospel. Grant Wistrom said, "We play a rough game, and none of us in the NFL got this far by being cautious with our bodies. One reason I do what I do is that I'm willing to sacrifice and work when things are hard, whether I'm hot, hurt, or fatigued. I take pride in my ability to plow through discomfort. That's what makes me a football player." Boy, I wonder if we could just change that, paraphrase that a little bit, and make it into a gospel quote. How about it? What do you think? What do you think? We live in a rough world, and none of us got this far following Jesus by being cautious with our bodies and lives. One reason we do what we do is because we're willing to sacrifice and work when things are hard, whether we're hot, hurt, fatigued, mocked, persecuted, rejected. We take pride in God and our ability to plow through discomfort because Jesus told us we have to deny ourselves. That's what makes us disciples. Boy, it wasn't much of a jump, was it? Wasn't much of a jump, but I would dare say that the commitment of a football player in the NFL dwarfs the commitment of the vast majority of professed followers of Jesus here in America. I would dare say that the commitment of virtually any serious athlete or professional athlete dwarfs the commitment that we as followers of Jesus make here in America. And it ought not to be like that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Do you hear what he's saying? They go into strict training. They're disciplined in all things. So are we. Why? They're doing it for an earthly crown. We're doing it for a crown that will last forever. Come on, friends. Time is limited. We've only got one life. We've only got one opportunity. Let's find out what God could do through yielded life. Let's find out what it means to be disciples. Let's find out the potential of a Jesus-filled, Spirit-yielded life while we yet have breath.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. If you've not yet gone to my Facebook page, please go there because of the picture that I have posted of a Pakistani Muslim who got saved. After getting saved, his arms were chopped off, after which he was baptized. It's the picture of his baptism. Many people are sharing it on Facebook with others. There's a friend of a friend of mine who is doing the baptism. That's how I got the picture. I've had it for years. And talking about being disciples today on the Line of Fire, I wanted to share it with you. 866-34-TRUTH. I was looking for a quote from Tozer earlier, and I found it. To escape the error of salvation by works, we have fallen into the opposite error of salvation without obedience, and there is no such thing. We are saved to serve. We are saved from sin to holiness. We are saved from serving ourselves to serving God. That's the gospel. That's what salvation is, not simply forgiveness of sins, not simply getting to heaven, but having been slaves of sin, now we become slaves of righteousness, and we live to do the will of God. Have we achieved perfection in it? No, but our desire is, Lord, how can I serve you? How can I please you? Not just getting off drugs like I did 40 years ago, but the whole of our lives belonging to the Master as witnesses, as servants, as devoted sons and daughters. And I'm afraid to say that we often preach almost anything else but that. We preach so many other things and teach so many other things and pursue so many other things. And then for some of us, being disciple just means, you know, going to a Bible study and learning to grow a little bit. Oh, okay, great. Take a step at a time. But being disciples means, to quote from a theological dictionary, following Jesus as a disciple means the unconditional sacrifice of his whole life for the whole of his life. That's what it means. What a joy. What a privilege. 866-34-TRUTH. Melissa in High Point, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello, you're on the air.
I was just wanting to make a comment that I think the reason most people are not looking to be discipled is because they're not really committed to Christ. They're just looking for a get into heaven free card.
Yes.
And they just, they have no commitment to Christ whatsoever.
Right. Now, here's my question for you. Why do you think that so many in America are just looking for a get into heaven free card? Do you think that's what they're looking for, or is that also some of what we're preaching to them?
I think that they really, hell is the alternative, and they'd rather have heaven.
Right, right.
And I think that a lot of it is the preaching of, like, grace and love without commitment and without judgment.
Yeah, without telling people what salvation really is. You know, it's almost like saying to people, okay, we have a work day next Saturday on our property, and we're going to be working hard for 8 hours straight. And at the end of the day, we're going to have a real nice meal. Some folks are bringing in some food and everything. So we're going to have a great meal at the end of the day, but we're going to be working hard and sweating. It's going to be the hardest work day you've ever had in your life for 8 hours. And instead, all people hear is there's a free meal at the end of the day. and they show up for the free meal. Now, I'm not saying that we earn our salvation, but Melissa, you're absolutely right. Salvation is the call to follow Jesus with everything we have, and as his people, we will be with him forever. As his people, we're delivered from hell, we're delivered from sin, and now we live to do the will of God. But the idea that salvation is just forgiveness of sins, that's not in the Bible. Jesus never just said, okay, here's how you get your sins forgiven and get in, but you don't have to follow me. No, it's just like a simple analogy I use. It's like getting a free ticket to go somewhere, but then when you get on the plane, you'll actually go somewhere. And somehow, Melissa, we need to model this in our own lives, and we need to preach this message more clearly. And also, when people realize how lost they are, how far they are from God, their guilt in his sight, and how much mercy God's had on them, the only natural response when you've had that mercy poured out is, Lord, I'm yours, completely, without reservation. How can I serve you? So thank you. Of course,
exactly.
Nailed it right on the head. God bless you, Melissa.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
I think the reason for salvation and the forgiveness of the sins was so that we could have a relationship with God, not so that we could get into heaven.
Yes, exactly.
It's all about the relationship, and to continue in that sin is saying, I don't want you what you have to offer, I just want to go to heaven.
Yeah, and again, who's going to be in heaven? Who are we going to be with in heaven forever? Yep, thank you for calling, Melissa. You know, years ago when Phil Donahue was back on TV, he'd been on years earlier than was back on a little while, I was on a couple times with Rabbi Shmuley, my friend Rabbi Shmuley, and Reverend Al Mohler. And I wanted to ask, I just never got to ask the question to Donahue, but why do you want to go to heaven? I mean, if you're rejecting God here and you're rejecting our faith here and you're rejecting the centrality of Jesus here, why do you want to go to heaven? What, heaven is not get drunk all the time but no hangovers. Heaven is not sleep with as many people as you want but don't get STDs or get caught. Heaven is not get all the money you want and there's no such thing as greed. Heaven is being with God forever and living as he intended us to live. If we don't want him here, why are we going to want him there forever without a veil in between us? Friends, I want to encourage you, start going through the Gospels again and read the words of Jesus as if he really meant what he said. Oh, it seems so radical to us, but if he really is who he says he is, it makes perfect sense. The Word of God himself, the Son of God, God coming down into our world in human flesh, calling us to follow him, and then laying down his life for us. Well, how indebted are we to the Lord? And what a is there anything else we could do with our lives that makes more sense than being his servants, being his sons, being his daughters, being his witnesses, sharing the good news with others and living it out in a consistent way? Don't forget to visit townhall.com and read my important article, The Kids Are Not Always All Right. And so excited, we are now taking the first pre-orders of a special numbered hard cover edition. The first 500 copies will be numbered, and I will be signing them of my brand new book, The Real Kosher Jesus. If you've heard about Rabbi Shmuley's Kosher Jesus book, you'll want to read this, but this is for every Christian. You'll find this and almost like reading a novel as it unfolds, but it's all true, who Jesus really is. And it's going to be a perfect outreach tool to give to a Jewish friend, The Real Kosher Jesus, Revealing the Mysteries of the Hidden Messiah. You can pre-order this special edition for $50. It'll be out early April by calling 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. There was a problem with ordering online yesterday. That's all taken care of. So go to askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Again, number to call, 1-800-278-9978 for this special numbered signed hardcover edition of The Real Kosher Jesus. My bottom line is this. Jesus didn't give conditions. Jesus didn't give options. Jesus didn't give contingency plans. He simply said, leave everything, follow me. And when we do that, we have found the greatest treasure imaginable. And leaving everything is nothing to finding him.